Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
When war becomes show business, when the enemy of your enemy becomes your friend, when hate is up and love is down, and when they say we began with a big bang and will end with a big crunch, you know we're talking about the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, July 25th, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about. You can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, all when you visit the Signs of the Times section on the waymedia.net, or just grab our handy Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who hasn't seen the Epstein files, but he has seen the Rockford files, and that's Pastor Mark, who bought a vinyl record yesterday called Sounds Wasps Make. When he played it, he said, "This doesn't sound anything like Wasps." Then he realized he was playing the B-side.
Yeah, that's okay.
You would have to, yeah, I know.
The kids would love that.
Well, the older,
little kids would love that.
Yes, but but you'd have to have experience with records to know there was an A side and a B side.
That's right. But when you said vinyl, probably most people had no idea what you're talking about.
Right. That's why
I said
vinyl.
But it did come back around, though. Remember,
yes,
a few years back, you had this kind of retro.
Well, that's why you bought the record yesterday.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
With Sounds Wasp Make.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
you'll have to reveal what you've learned at the on the Rockford files, by the way, later.
I will. Yeah. Again,
yes.
Well, I don't know. We have to be careful what we release and what we don't release.
Well, we'll have to probably go to a court to see if a judge will release
things. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, okay. But speaking of the news, you did want to talk about a couple of people that are well known in the news that have recently died.
Yeah, I think you have to mention him. Before that, I also want to mention about the Drews.
Make a
correction. Somebody told me last week, I said the Drews were possibly descended or was Shia or connected from, came out of the Shia movement. If I did, I misspoke. No, actually, there's the Shia and the Sunni. The Druze are their own religion. The Druze did come out of, their roots go back to Islam to some form and fashion. But they're not Shia and they're not Sunni. They are something totally different. Like I said, even only their top leadership even knows what they believe. And so the people that follow don't know. And of course, we talked about the Druze last week because of all the attacks going on against them. Some good news is, kind of an update on the Druze. Some good news is they have now driven back the forces of Syria, and they've retreated with an agreement. They really have retreated, and they're setting up buffer zones to protect the Druze there in Syria. And, of course, the ones in Israel are protected anyway. But I also wanted to mention something else about the Druze that we were talking about before the broadcast that I hadn't mentioned. They themselves believe they are the descendants of Jethro. Now, there's no connection there to Jed and Granny. No, different Jethro. But this is
different
the Jethro.
Clampets.
Yes, this is Jethro of the Bible, who was Moses' father-in-law. Remember when Moses had his wife, while he went down to Egypt, he left her with his father-in-law. He came back, and his father-in-law, Jethro, came and met him, and they had all this. So there was this connection, apparently Jethro knowing the God of Israel, and there was a connection between the Jethrites. I don't think that's what they're called, but it seems logical, but Jethro's descendants and the Jews. And so Jethro's descendants, we see, migrated, many of them, with Israel later on. Somehow they ended up there in the northern part of Israel. Jael, who drove the nail through the head there of in one of the battles there, she was from the Jethro descendants. Others were from, so we see Jethro's descendants in that are kind of nomads that traveled around. But there's always kind of been this friendly connection with the Druze and Israel, and always a friendly connection with Jethro's descendants and Israel. So I can't verify that they are Jethro's descendants, but they claim they are. And if they are, Greg, that is such an interesting connection you have here. And you even see the spiritual realm. First of all, on the earthly realm, you see this connection of Jethro's family and descendants having a friendly relationship with the Jews, because what was connected with Moses, his father-in-law, although they weren't fully absorbed, you know, it was kind of like the Druze today. They were there, they were friendly, they were a part of them, but they weren't Jews, and they didn't participate in the Jewish events and all that, but they were there, and it was okay. You know, you're like friends. You can live here. And now we see the spiritual side of it. Look who's getting attacked: Jews, Christians, and Druze. And I find that interesting. I don't know. The Druze, they don't know Christ. The modern-day Druze aren't saved. They don't know the Lord. But when you see Satan's attack against the Christians and the Jews and the Druze, they're in that region now, and especially if indeed they are descendants connected to Jethro, you know, Satan sees things in the spiritual realm we don't, and he would, of course, just out of spite, because he hates Moses and hates anything to do with, you know, the Jews, he would want to wipe them out, and you would see why Islam would attack the Druze.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it might even be when the outpouring of the Spirit happens on the nation of Israel, remember, the Spirit's going to be pouring out on all flesh in the last days, the Bible says. So when God pours out a Spirit on the nation of Israel, and the Druze who live in northern Israel see the miracle of God defending the nation with this intervention that he'll do there in that region where they live, you wonder, is God also going to pour a Spirit out on the Druze? And maybe Jethro's family are going to get saved, and we'll see that connection there as well. Maybe that's why Satan's attacking them. We don't know, but it is an interesting physical, genetic, and spiritual connection between the Druze and Jethro, if indeed that's accurate, which they claim.
Yeah,
and the Jews and the Christians, and then you see the dark religions hating them and trying to kill them. You see a difference in dark and light there at battle, very possibly.
You know what's interesting? If some of them are living in Syria, and if there is that connection family wise yeah. between the Druze and the Jews, why wouldn't Israel just offer the Druze that are in Syria to come and live inside their own borders of Israel?
Oh, I think they have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's one of these, no, this is our homeland for thousands of years.
Gotcha.
We're not leaving.
Yeah.
We'd rather fight and die.
I understand. Yeah,
I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
So I wanted to give you kind of an update on that and share a little bit more on that. But now, what you brought up originally, Greg, the death of Hulk Hogan, how sad. And Ozzy Osbourne, sad when you see anyone like that passing suddenly, unless, of course, they know the Lord. Really exciting news about Hulk Hogan. I was just reading today or yesterday that here just recently, and when I say recently, it may be in the past year, if I understood it correctly, and I know he was just baptized within the past year and past few months, I think, indicating that very possibly he just gave his life to the Lord here recently. So I don't know, he may have done it sooner, but if he did just give his life to the Lord recently, and they're talking about his baptism, how sweet of the Lord to bring the Hulkster into the kingdom right before he dies. And God knew he was going to suddenly, you know, die at a very young age. And 71 is not that old, not in our day and age today. And his poor wife, she was like, I just wasn't ready. She's so shocked and stunned. Nobody
absolutely.
Was ready for this.
Yeah.
And but again, if he got baptized, he professed Jesus Christ before he died. He did. He talked about it. So again, I think that Hulk is in the kingdom now, and so that's exciting to know that he's there. And then you see the contrast of Ozzy Osbourne. And let me make it very clear: I'm not judging Ozzy Osbourne's eternal future, because I don't know. Only God knows. Ozzy Osbourne, you know, if he didn't give his life to the Lord here at the end, he's not in the kingdom, because he very clearly was not a family in the family of God by his career, by his life, even the group Black Sabbath. And truly it is a Black Sabbath for him if indeed he didn't know the Lord. But you never know. He may have given his life to the Lord there at the very end. We don't know. You know, that God reserves that. I know that God loved Ozzy. I know that God would have given him an opportunity up to the very end. But what my point is, if he didn't give his life to the Lord, and we don't know, and I hope he did, but if he didn't, What a contrast. The picture still gives you the contrast of how important it is to make the decision and the difference in the earth and heaven and how we view things. They're talking about these two men as icons of world history and you know, just, you know, legends and all this kind of stuff. The world sees them as this, these legends. And again, Hulk, again, knowing the Lord, that is a praise report. And so even though the world did honor him, you know, God's certainly honoring him now as well. But Ozzy Osbourne, if he did not give his life to the Lord, he was known as the Prince of Darkness. He just turned himself over to that. And he's now eternally separated from God. Again, that's if he didn't come to know the Lord. So we don't know. My point is, the world, the ones that the world honors and says, oh, you're this great figure, you know, once you die, you don't care what the world says about you.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't care right now. I guarantee you this. If he doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't care how popular he is on the earth. He just realizes, oh my goodness, did I make a huge mistake by not receiving Christ?
Mm.
And then once you cross that barrier where you leave this body, it is too late. There's no purgatory except a place to ski at in Colorado. There's no purgatory. It doesn't exist. And that's something that was made up by the Catholic Church. I'm just going to say it. You will not find it in the pages of Scripture. There is no second chance. There's nothing you can work off and earn. Once you die, the Bible says it is appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. And so I just encourage our listeners today, pray for Hulk's family, for Ozzy's family, but really pray for them they would come to know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, that you would give your life to the Lord before it's too late. Because listen, I don't care how popular or famous you are and how good you could dunk and how many things. I mean, I think of all these famous people that die all the time. And we see their movies and their sports replays and their songs on YouTube that they did and these famous whatever. It means nothing once you die. As a matter of fact, it is a terror. And can you imagine going from the world's popularity to eternal damnation and realizing it? It hitting you and going, God gave me 60, 70 years to make this choice.
Mm.
And I didn't make the right choice. So I want our listeners to know right now, if you're hearing me right now, you're alive. You have time. You can make that choice for Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross, washing your sins away right now. And you can have your eternity secure in heaven. And not just, oh, yes, I'm saved, but the joys of heaven, the wedding supper of the Lamb that could happen at any moment when the rapture takes place, the rejoicing in heaven of the angels and the saints. And as we were talking about, Greg, right before the broadcast began, you know, we're going to know everybody immediately. We're going to see all these people and go, hey, look, there's Elijah, there's Moses. We're going to know them right off the bat. And we know that. Scripture says that. We will know as we are known. You'll know your family. You'll know other people's family. You'll never forget someone's name and have to pray, Lord, bless this brother. Lord, bless this sister. No, you're going to know who it is you're praying for. You're going to know everybody. Anyway, I'm kind of kidding on that. But either way, you are. And it's just a... And it's going to be family and joy and just a glorious, glorious time. How I look forward to it. And you know, my heart breaks for these guys, their families. And again, for the Hulk, I'm excited because I know he's in the presence of the Lord. Ozzy, I don't know, but I sure hope that the one known as the Prince of Darkness made a decision before it was too late. But we can. We still can make that decision. Those of you hearing this right now, confess your sin. Tell Jesus you believe he died for you. Believe that he died for you. Ask him to forgive you. Give your life to him and be a part of the family of God.
Amen. All right, our first article from our Israel stack comes from the Times of Israel, dated July 21st. 28 Western nations say the Gaza war must, quote unquote, end now. The suffering has reached new depths.
First of all, the suffering reaching new depths. Look, I know people are suffering there in Gaza. I'm not going to pretend they're not. But it's not at all the way that the world in Gaza is presenting it. Before I even get into this article, look, they show all these pictures. They've been putting these pictures out of these starving children, right? But then you go and look those up. They're pictures that are like 5 years old, 2 years old. They're from other countries.
Yes.
They've got one they're promoting now. There's some, apparently, child there in Gaza that has some rare disease. And last year, they post the same picture of him saying, look what's happening. Now they posted the same thing. Look what's happening. And they know, no, he's always been that way. He's got a rare, just rare disease.
They're in the show business.
Yeah, they posted another one of these starving children that was from like years ago in Africa. I mean, the point is you're being lied to. They're not giving you the truth. There are truckloads and truckloads of food in Gaza. And if you see the pictures coming out of Gaza, they've got plenty to eat. And you've got truckloads and truckloads, Greg, that the UN is refusing to distribute. They're letting it sit there and rot. It's rotting. I saw pictures of it, massive amounts. They won't let it be distributed. It's evil. And so what Israel's doing now, Israel announced today, you know what? Everybody's attacking us saying they're starving. We've brought all this food in. We've got right there on their borders all this money the UN won't let in. You know what we're going to do? All you nations that want to bring food in, you're free to come and airdrop. You're free to bring it in. Go for it. We're not stopping you. We're trying to get it in. They won't let us. What we get in, we get in. And then with what gets in, Hamas attacks and steals and throws it in their tunnels underground. And yes, some of the people do go without from time to time because of Hamas. And so this is so angering what's happening. It's lies. It's a propaganda campaign. Israel is a compassionate nation. I have dealt with Israel since I was a Christian. I've been to Israel 15 times. I'm about to go here in a couple of months. They are a compassionate people. They take care even of their enemies. So all these things you're hearing are lies. But getting into the article, Britain and 27 Western allies, including Australia, Canada, France, and Italy, said in a joint statement Monday that the Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza must end now, arguing civilian suffering has reached new depths. The statement, which all, and I'm not going to say it's not bad conditions in there. Look, I know war is terrible, but it's not what they're presenting it as. The statement, which also denounced Israel's plan to create a humanitarian city in Gaza's south, as well as the settler activity in the West, while calling for the release of the hostages, came at a time of continued reports of mass casualty events in the vicinity of aid distribution sites and rising malnutrition, they say, among the children. It also came as hostage truce negotiations with Hamas have ground on, they say, without an apparent breakthrough despite expanded military operations. Well, they're holding hostages. Listen, I want everybody to realize this. Hamas could stop the war right now if they let the hostages go. If they release those hostages, it's over. Israel said that. We'll withdraw. We're done. It's done. It is on Hamas. It is not on Israel. It is their fault. They're the ones doing evil. They're the ones holding those hostages and killing them one by one over all these years and ruining lives and everything else. So don't put this off on Israel. This is the fault of Hamas. Yes, things may be hard in war. They are, but it's Hamas's fault. It says Israel rejected the statement saying it sends the wrong message to Hamas. Of course it does. They're getting rewarded for their evil. Israel has acknowledged deaths near aid sites and has confirmed that troops have fired warning shots when crowds have gotten too close. But it said the death tolls, which mostly come from Hamas-run authorities, are exaggerated. Defense Minister Israel Katz floated a plan earlier this month, look at this, to build a city on the ruins of Rafah that would eventually contain all of the Strip's residents. They would not be allowed to leave during ongoing fighting, as the IDF would operate against Hamas throughout the rest of the enclave. So he's trying to give a safe place they can all go to and be there, but he's saying they got to stay there till the war's over, and then we'll deal with them. So it's his normal war stuff they've got to do. They're trying to go in to get the bad guys. Hamas started it. Hamas is keeping it going by not letting the hostages go, and everybody's blaming Israel. It's nonsense. As President Trump said today, Israel needs to finish the job. Let them finish the job of these people that hate them and want to kill them and destroy them, and let everyone else live that doesn't want to kill them and destroy them, and then they can begin working together about what's going to happen in the Gaza Strip. But the whole thing is just, there's so many lies and so much propaganda. I encourage you, if you don't have some good resources for Middle Eastern news, and I know that even you get the outlets, they can be, deceptive like any other news. All of our news in America we know is accurate.
I even heard Ed laugh.
Dramatic pause. My point is, I'm not pretending that seeing multiple media outlets means you get all the news. I'm saying find ones you know that you can trust who are telling the truth, and they're there, and go to them. Amir Sarfati is one of them on Telegram, and he's just showing the truth and the pictures and the news coming out. And so this is a lot of baloney coming out of there. And just don't listen to everything you read, but do your homework, and don't just listen to what you're hearing because you're being lied to.
All Israel News dated July 28th. Hamas causes the crisis. Israel gets the blame. Israel denies claims of Gaza famine amid international outcry.
Yeah, and this is always how it is. No matter what happens, Israel's to blame. I've often said if somebody throws a snowball and it hits your window, then the Jews did it. If you had a flat tire on the way home, it's because of the Jews. The Jews did it. They threw that nail on the road. Everything is blamed on the Jews. Why? It's satanic. It's demonic. It is Satan hating them because God loves them and God made a promise for them. I know they don't know God right now, but God has future promises for the nation of Israel. And because of that, Satan hates them and he just tells all these lies about them. Officials are stridently, it says, rejecting new claims of famine in Gaza amid an international outcry over the humanitarian crisis in the enclave that is being fueled by an intensified propaganda campaign by Hamas. And boy, is it intensified propaganda. As part of the negotiations, we see quite a few actions that Hamas is taking in order to resonate or create narratives in order to influence the negotiations, a security official told Walla News on Tuesday. By the way, Satan is a master at creating false narratives. Be aware of that. These actions are being widely reported in the international media. Quite a few things are coming out of Hamas health ministry. They are very quickly repainted and presented as absolute truth. Also on Tuesday, Hamas went public with some of the most radical claims so far, saying that 15 people, including four children, had died due to famine and malnutrition over the past day. A senior Israeli security official responded to these claims on Tuesday, telling the Times of Israel that after a deep assessment of the humanitarian situation in Gaza, including intelligence gathered from Palestinians, the military has not identified starvation at this current point in time, but we understand that action is required to stabilize the humanitarian situation. By the way, our American government also did a deep evaluation and said the same thing. There's no genocide going on, and there's no mass starvation going on. The accusations are false. It goes on, and I quote from the Jerusalem Post, Hamas causes the crisis, and we get the blame. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, said in the interview with the Post, we're not ignoring the suffering in Gaza, but the blame lies with Hamas. Amen. Not Israel, said Dannon, strongly rejecting the claims of famine in Gaza. It is. There's so many lies coming out. Listen, let me just encourage you. Let me encourage our listeners again with this. As much as Israel gets attacked, they go overboard to stop the attacks. And as many accusations as they're getting about not sending food in, they're actually doing all they can to send more food in. I mean, they're going overboard, and yet they're still getting blamed. It reminds me of when they would drop all the leaflets before they would bomb anything.
Yes.
Like, bombed all these people. Well, we warned them we were coming in because those people they're in there that want to kill us. So anybody that doesn't want to kill us and has a good heart, we gave them all these brochures we dropped from the skies so they could read them in their streets and they could leave. And we gave them time to leave. And then we went in for the bad guys. No army in history has done that. These guys are, Israel goes overboard to try their best to protect civilians. So these are just lies. They're satanic lies. Don't listen to it. Do your homework.
All right, as we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, we look at Breitbart.com for an article dated July 17th that says China is backing Iran against the U.S. and Israel, so pick your side.
Yeah, no surprise there. We expect Russia and Iran to be linking together because of what the Bible says. But China, again, they're linking together, Greg, because they're a part of the, this kind of dark, three here, I would say. You always see China and Russia and Iran linking up recently, haven't
Didn't
you?
Bush called that, or was it Reagan it or Bush called that
evil.
The axis
no,
of evil?
That was, okay. No, that was a different group. China wasn't included in that. Okay. However, China is now included in all these. And remember, China is a dark nation overall. There's a lot of believers there, but overall a dark nation without God. And they rejected God. They claim to be an atheist nation, although we have millions of Christians that are there. But you see China getting involved in all these dark forces behind the scenes against things that are God is doing and against the nation of Israel. And it's interesting because when we get into the Great Tribulation, prior to the Great Tribulation, we don't see any prophecy about China. Now, we may see some in the Great Tribulation. There's indication that China is called the land of sin, S-I-N, not sin as in, oh, they're over there sinning. It was just a regional name is going to be involved. And many believe that regional name does link to China and that region where they are. We're going to see them involved during the Great Tribulation, if indeed it is them. And we're even going to see from that region, from the east, a 200 million man army coming in, which China could man a 200 million man army. Again, it's going to be demonically influenced and demonically led, but it could be through human bodies. But you see them very involved right now. Again, I think China's going to kind of disappear and not be a part of things. They're there. But during the Great Tribulation, it doesn't appear they're going to have huge influence till the very end. And then they're getting more and more involved. We'll see that from heaven for those of us who know the Lord. But Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi declared his country's support for the national sovereignty and dignity of Iran after meeting with Iranian Foreign Minister Saeed Abbas Arachi on Wednesday. Wang promised Arachi that China would continue to support Iran in safeguarding its national sovereignty and dignity, resisting power politics and bullying, defending its legitimate rights and interests through political negotiation and adhering to the principle of good neighborliness and friendship to continuously improve and develop relations with its neighboring countries. What a great neighbor they are. That's the kind of person you want to go and borrow your cup of sugar from, you know. Iran, the world's worst state sponsor of terrorism, which they are, and constant destabilizing force in the Middle East, which they are, is no one's idea of a good neighbor or a friend. Wang poured on the flattery because China sees an opportunity to build ties with the Islamic Republic after its military was humiliated by Israel and the United States in the 12-day war. Now, again,
like a good neighbor, terror is there.
Yeah, well, China, you know, they do everything. They, you know, they make this, they make that. They're going to be making ties. So, I mean, they do it all.
Yeah.
And so, either way, it's just, you know, you see this stuff and you're like, China is always right in the middle of the bad stuff. And yet they're not spoken about a lot prophetically. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Well, you know, what's also interesting too, is that, I think, was it, say, Wang Yi?
Yes.
Yeah, as a descendant of Wang Chung. I don't know if you knew that.
Interesting. Anyway, I used to eat there.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, that was P.F. Chang's? No.
I don't know. They're brothers, I think.
Okay. Never mind. All right, next
article.
The
joke's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. We need to go on. All right. The Jerusalem Post dated July 17th, Russia and Iran launch a naval drill in the Caspian Sea.
Wow. Again, here we go. You would expect to see these guys linking up in their drills, if you will. Again, you see this constant, and that's something to be aware of, this constant linking up of Russia and Iran, and they're, you know, it's almost like every time I see these articles, Greg, and I hear these things happening, I think, how obvious could it be? It's so lining up with Scripture, and you wonder how long is it going to go until this thing takes place. But Iran and Russia began the CSAREx 2025 naval drill on Monday, held in the Caspian Sea, the friendly Caspian Sea, which is seen as a way for both countries to assert their role. Scary place, really.
Yes.
Which is seen as a way for both countries to assert their role in those waters, which lie north of Iran and south of Russia. Although this has some significance, given that it is a joint drill, the fact that it's taking place in the Caspian Sea illustrates certain features of the Iran-Russia relationship. In other words, why there? Because they're working together. They're close together, linked. They're trying to, again, this alliance, you know, north and south going on here. The Caspian Sea has some strategic importance, the article says. Not only is it situated between Iran and Russia, but also Azerbaijan and the countries of Central Asia. The Islamic Republic has been doing outreach to Central Asia. Additionally, Iran aims to establish a north-south economic corridor that would connect these areas with South Iran and Pakistan toward the end. Toward that end, naval security is essential in the Caspian Sea. So Iran's, says Tasnim State Media, said the initial part of the drill was taking place in the fourth maritime zone of the Nadaja near Rasht. The news agency added that the main phrase, main phase of this exercise will be carried out in the 4th Naval Zone, the Imam Reza, Nadaja, as we said, after holding joint coordination meetings between the Iranian, Russian, and Russian naval forces, as well as with the presence of observers from other countries bordering the Caspian Sea. So, I mean, these guys are getting buddy-buddy, snuggle-snuggle, and that's how it's going to be. And they're again, it would appear there's going to be some agreement they make that's going to pull Russia into this. One of the hooks, there'll be multiple hooks that pull them in. But they're making friends with them, and then if they more agreements they make with them, it's kind of like NATO. You know, if one of the NATO allies goes to war, then the rest of us have to go to war with them. So I think that you're going to see Russia, already they have some agreements, but I think you're going to see them linking up more with Iran linking up more with them. If either of them go to war, we're there to help you. That could be part of the hooks in the jaw that pulls them into this invasion in northern Israel we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated July 21st. Damascus asks Turkey for defense support after sectarian clashes and Israeli strikes.
Yeah, this is interesting. And of course, we expected a linking up here between them, because they're going to be, again, remember, Turkey's going to be linking in, where they're going to be coming in and getting involved with
and
Russia
and
Iran.
And some of this story ties into what you were talking about, the Druze as well.
Yeah, that's good. So again, remember what happened, what this is talking about before we even read it. Remember Israel going in and the strikes they did because of protecting the Druze. So Syria's interim government has requested Turkey's support to strengthen its defense capabilities, Turkish officials said Wednesday, following sectarian violence over the past 2 weeks that drew in Israeli strikes. The defense ministry officials, who spoke on condition of anonymity, according to the procedures, said that Syria has also sought assistance to combat terrorist organizations, including the Islamic State group. Turkey was working toward providing training, advisory services, and technical support to help strengthen Syria's defense capacity, the officials added. Syrian officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Turkey was believed to provide assistance to Syrian rebels fighting Bashar al-Assad, the country's ousted leader, and now it's a prominent supporter of the government that's replaced Assad. So he was, remember, fighting against Assad. Now that the guys they were fighting with have taken over, he's supporting them, which is headed by Ahmad al-Sharaa. It's been seeking a defense agreement with Damascus that could reportedly include establishing Turkish military bases on Syrian territory. Wednesday's news, which came days after violent clashes between Bedouin Arab tribes and the Druze militias in the southern province of Sweida, means that Ankara will likely be stepping up its presence and activity in Syria. So, you know, I don't think Turkey's a friend of the Druze either. Mm-hmm. And again, remember, we're going to see this linking up of Turkey and really Syria. It's interesting. Syria as a country is not really mentioned in this invasion. They're coming in from their border. But it's interesting. You don't see Syria. Maybe they're not organized enough to do it. Maybe they're going to be dissolved as a country before that happens. Something's going to happen with this new leader. It's going to kind of dissolve. Maybe
or
they
maybe
just,
Isaiah 17:1 pretty much yeah, knocks
Damascus,
that out.
It could be. It could be leading into the point that Damascus is gone and annihilated by the time they move. And so now we're going to move on behalf of Syria, and we're coming together, brothers. And you got Turkey and Russia and Iran, these other guys.
And who and what was annihilated when Damascus gets annihilated?
Yeah, exactly. And remember, that's their capital.
Exactly.
It would be like if you took out Washington and a war broke out, it would be hard for us to jump right in. I mean, people would do it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be an organized effort. So just because God doesn't mention it doesn't mean that it's not going to be there. But the thing is, we don't see anything from it. So keep your eye on that. Again, that's a great point, Greg. It might be because Damascus and Syria is neutralized prior to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. We don't know the timing on that. But that would explain why you don't see Syria mentioned. However, you do see when Turkey, Russia, and Iran come together, and then Libya and Sudan, that they come from that northern border. Now,
yes,
they may also come up from other sides and stop. You know, because you see that Libya has access to the Mediterranean right over to the shores of Israel, and again, Sudan right up the Red Sea, right up, you know, to Israel. But whether or not they'll be trying any of that, it doesn't appear they'll be successful or do that, but they're going to be coming in from the northern border for sure. And those five working together, maybe from all sides or all together, we don't know. But again, Syria not being mentioned, it's very, very interesting to see how this is going to pan out.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 373, which is easier to obtain than peace deals with countries that don't want peace with you. They want a piece of you. And now,
you've got mail.
One question this week, Pastor Mark, comes from Mike, enjoying Signs of the Times north of us in Crestwood, Kentucky. And he says, I recently read an article, and the article is entitled, How Eight False Feasts Supplanted God's Eight True Feasts. And of course, he gives you a link for you to read this article. Some great points are made in this article regarding how traditional Christianity has rejected God's feasts and substituted pagan celebrations. I keep going back to the start of the second paragraph in the article that says the Bible tells us not to adopt false religious practices to worship God in place of what he commanded. He says, I consider myself to be a modern-day Berean, and I am struggling to reconcile the modern-day holidays I have celebrated all my life, primarily Easter and Christmas, with biblical feasts, and whether this is wrong. I value your opinions and insight. What is your take on this article?
Yeah, this is that we talk about an onion that needs to be kind of unfolded here. It's a great question, Mike, and I know that a lot of other people probably have this question, and I think that any Christian, at some point, most Christians go through this journey trying to determine, are there any issue going on with Christmas, Easter, things like that, as far as what they're named and their history and all that. Let me give you what my viewpoint and my take and where I believe God led me through this journey. First of all, I've read articles like this one, many articles over the years, and I think it starts out on a false premise. So they lay this false premise, then they build their argument. And let me explain to you why I believe it's a false premise. God never commanded the church to follow any of the feasts. That was only the Jews. The feasts were never given to the church. You won't find any scripture anywhere in the Bible that says Christians should follow the feasts, and God gave the feasts for the church, and they were intended for the church. But you will find that God specifically says, I have given these to you, Israel, to the Jews, as a memorial for what I did in your history. So God did all these things in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of the Jewish nation, and he gave them these feasts for a remembrance of what God has done. For example, the Passover was when God brought them out of Egypt, and you know, the tabernacles when he tabernacled among them in the wilderness, and you can go down the list. Now, are there prophetic applications that the church can grab onto? Absolutely. We see the fulfillment of the Passover in Jesus. We see the fulfillment of tabernacles when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. So I do see a prophetic picture for the church in the feasts. But you won't find any commandments or directives from God anywhere in the Bible that the feasts were ever intended for the church. So the premise they're taking is a false premise. They're saying God gave us these feasts and we're all supposed to be following them. No, he didn't. God gave the Jews and Israel those feasts, not the Gentiles and the church. And my guess is that this group here probably comes from more of a legalistic background because they're trying to follow the Old Testament law. Now, I can't say that for sure. But either way, my point is, so let's do away with that premise, okay? Where God never commanded the church to follow the feasts. That's just not in the Bible. Now, is it wrong for Christians to follow the feast? No, if you want to do the feast, you can. You're free in Christ to do those. And listen, there's a lot of great biblical lessons that are learned in the Feast of Israel. And the Passover is tremendous. If you go back and just do a Passover, a Seder meal, you know, at that time of year, you see Jesus everywhere. I mean, it is like, it's screaming Jesus, and it's so cool. So I'd encourage all believers to look at the feasts and learn what you can from the feast. And if you want to observe the feast, you're free in Christ, but you don't have to. It was never asked of the church. You certainly don't want to do it based on law or something to make God happy. So with that foundation, it's impossible to change what God intended for the church to something else if God never intended it for the church.
Yeah.
So you can't change something that never existed. So see what I'm saying? Now, that's that issue. Now let's switch over to, well, what about Christmas and Easter? Because they do come from pagan backgrounds, and that's true. But what a lot of people don't realize is that all the days of the week come from pagan backgrounds as well. I hear people say, well, you're supposed to have, you know, do worship God on the Sabbath and only the Sabbath because Sunday comes from the sun god, and you're worshiping the sun when you do that. You can't do it on Sunday. Well, Sunday, yeah, it was named after the sun god, but Saturday was named after, Saturn, a different god, you know, a Saturnalia.
Saturnalia, yeah.
Saturnalia is actually the, I don't know for sure, let me back up on that, but Saturday is from another god. Let me leave it at that, because I don't want to connect it to Saturnalia until I verify, but Saturday's from another god. Monday's a different god. Tuesday's a different god. Wednesday's a different god. They all come from god backgrounds. So what do? We quit calling them those names? We quit acknowledging each day of the week? No. Here's the point. If it doesn't mean that to us in our generation, it doesn't mean that. And so Christmas, again, we've taken it now to celebrate something totally different. And Easter, yes, it comes from the name Esther and Eshtar, which is false. But so does each day of the week have false god names as well. So I have no issue with that. And before I finish this, I want to come back to that. Let me go back and I'll tell you where I believe God led me when I was going through my journey and my struggle, Mike, about this kind of stuff. Because I did the same thing. I said, wait a minute. Should we be celebrating Christmas and Easter and all these things? And you look at the book of Esther. And you see this wicked Haman who's trying to wipe out the Jews. And he sets a certain day, a day of wickedness, a day intended for evil and wickedness, to go and to wipe out all the Jews. God intervenes, not only wipes out Haman and kills him, God turns it around where they make it a day of celebration. They defeat their enemies. And that day that was intended for darkness, wickedness, and evil, they turn into a day of celebration, which they still celebrate today, the Feast of Purim, which started out as a evil, dark holiday or day, we would say, that they turned into a wonderful holiday of celebration because they turned it toward God. I see Christmas and Easter the same way. Yes, Christmas, you can make an argument, has some pagan roots. Easter, you can make an argument, has pagan roots. But what the church has done is nobody's worshiping Saturnalia today. If they are, I mean, I don't know any Saturnalia worshipers, which is where they say Christmas came from on the 25th. You know, nobody that I know of is worshiping Ishtar today. There may be some rare cases, but the point is, it doesn't mean the same thing today. Nobody's doing that. And what has happened is we've taken days that were intended for evil, just like Esther did, and we've made them days of good and celebration. So if Esther did it and God accepted that and it became a national feast for the nation of Israel, I don't see why God would prevent us from having Christmas and Easter and other days that were intended for evil and to turn them into something good as long as nobody's using them for that evil. Now, if we had today big groups of religious sects, you know, sects that were worshiping Saturnalia or that were worshiping Ishtar, I'd say, you know what? We probably should just back away from this Christmas and Easter thing because they're going to think we're a part of this. But nobody today, most people today don't even know about Saturnalia. Most people don't even know about Ishtar. So most people don't know that Monday, Tuesday, that every day of the week is named after a false god. And I wish I'd have jotted those gods down. I should have done that. I didn't think about it till we answered the question. I should have done that. But either way, so understand what I'm saying is, look, here's the bottom line, Mike. Don't breach your conscience. Don't let any man talk you into breaching your conscience. If you're pierced in your conscience that you should not be celebrating these, then you should stop. Because the Bible says what is sin to you is sin. But if you come to a place of peace in your heart to realize that even in Esther's day, when there was a day that was intended for evil, that was definitely satanically driven, they took that and turned it to a day of celebration for God because God turned it around and God accepted that. We see historically God allowed the Feast of Purim. Jesus, you know, didn't rebuke Purim. And if it had been something that was connected to evil, that he would have rebuked it. Well, that tells me that Christmas and Easter and holidays that were given to us, the Gentiles, has nothing to do with the Feast of Israel because they were given to Israel. But those that were given to us, then I don't see them as evil or wrong. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy Easter. Now, I don't celebrate the Easter Bunny. I'll be honest. I think there's a line you can cross. That's everyone's personal conviction, but I don't cross that line. And I don't do certain things that can be openly connected to, you know, more of the pagan roots, you know.
That takes the focus off of Jesus.
Yes. The bottom line is I celebrate Jesus and have a wonderful time in a holiday at those times and rejoice in them. And the Bible says, you know, let every man be convinced in his own mind. So don't ever breach your conscience. But I feel that God set me free by the book of Esther, a day of evil that was turned to good. I see the same thing now with Christmas and Easter. Days that were historically evil have been turned to good. And some haven't been turned to good. You know, again, I don't want to get too far out there, but you look at some of these things that still have a lot of darkness connected to them, like Halloween and other things. But Christmas and Easter, I think, are a different category. And remember, the church was never given the feasts. That was for Israel. So they couldn't be replaced because they were never given to us.
If you've got a question like Mike, then you need to do what Mike did. Just visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Find your way to the Signs of the Times section, and you'll find where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question, as well as read our frequently asked questions as well. As Signs of the Times rolls on, we'll roll into some growing anti-Semitism. This article comes from JNS.org, dated July 20th. Anti-Jewish hate crimes surge 58%, now more than 37% of all Chicago hate crimes per their city stats.
Greg, I'm going to jump right into that, but I can't resist. Let's do real quick the days of the week. This is the blessing. Oh. I've got them right here.
Okay, sure.
I want people to know what these days are. Okay, Monday comes from Monadag, which is the moon, worship of the moon. It was Moon's Day. So again, should we not call it Monday anymore because we're being evil? Tuesday is after the Germanic god, Tiwu or Tuya, which is the god of war, associated with the Norse god of Tyre. So that's Tuesday.
Hmm.
Then you've got on Wednesday, it means it's from Woden's Day, or Norse, or Odin. It's the old Norse equivalent to Mercury, who is the messenger to the gods and the Roman god of commerce. So that's Wednesday. Thursday is Thor's Day. You know, Thor? Isn't that great? That's where it comes from. It is Thor's day. Thor's the one that rode around, you know, on the horse and all the lightning he would throw down. I remember Pastor Chuck saying that, you know, he would ride
without his... Was he the one that had the hammer?
He had the hammer, and he rode without a saddle, and they said he would ride through the heavens. I'm Thor. And somebody said, well, just next time wear a saddle, Philly. But anyway, so this is, so Thor's day is Thursday. Friday comes from Freya. The wife of Woden and the Norse goddess of love and marriage and fertility. Saturday, here it is. Okay, I was right. When I said Saturn first, it's not Saturday, but it comes from Saturn's day, the worship of Saturn, a Roman god associated with wealth, plenty of time, and so Saturn being worshipped, etc. And so those are the days, and then Sunday, again, the worship of the sun and that kind of stuff. So I think that's important to point out, and I think that's interesting, and I think that might be an extra encouragement to Mike to realize that we don't have to be bound up by some of these things that come from past traditions and names that are evil, because God can turn them into good as long as they're not being worshipped for evil today. So now getting back to your great article, your headline there, the anti-Jewish hate crime surge. You know, Greg, we talk about this on a regular basis. I think it's important to include these every so often because the bottom line is that it's not just the fact that it's surging, it's the exponential rate at which it's surging. And when you hear the statistic here, again, you said 58% more and 37% in Chicago, more than their hate crimes. But listen to this. It says, earlier this month, Massachusetts reported a troubling 20.5% increase in anti-Semitism hate crimes in 2024 in the state amid an overall decline in hate crimes. Chicago stated on Friday that hate crimes in the city fell by 25% in 2024. Listen to this. So Chicago says ours fell by 25% in 2024 with a substantial decline across nearly every category. But however, note this. One of the categories, though, that didn't see a decline was against Jews. So overall, their crime went down, their hate crimes went down. But with Jews, there was a particular alarm because it surged by 58% and accounts for 37.6% of all reported hate crimes in the city. It's almost like all the other crimes they were doing, they stopped and they turned it all toward the Jews. So everything else dropped and the Jews got all the heat. So when you look at Chicago, we dropped 25% of our hate crime. No, but you went up 58% against Jews. That's alarming. So that shows that as the city was dropping overall, the hatred was going up, not only to meet that, but beyond that, against the Jews. So it's a radical shift in hatred and attacks against the Jews. It says this part, and I quote, "This is a part of the national increase in anti-Jewish hate crimes, but is especially troubling given that Jewish residents represent just 3% of Chicago's population."
Yeah.
So there's only 3% of the population in Chicago that are Jews. Their overall hate crime went down 25%, but among that 3%, it went up 58% for that 3%. See, when you really understand what it's saying, it is a hatred focal point is the Jew there in Chicago and as well as other places around the world. And guys, note this, this is demonic. It is spiritual. Look, you can pick on any people group for their problems, but there's something going on here because God said, I've made promises to the nation of Israel. I'm going to keep these promises. God's going to pour his spirit out on them in the last days. Satan knows it. Satan hates it. Satan goes, I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. He may be arrogant enough at this point and so blind to think that he can. I don't know, but he can't, and God's going to defeat him. And so, again, just realize the level of hatred and vitriol that's rising. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that all nations will hate Israel and the Jews for just because Satan's going to turn them against them. And then God's going to come, and God's going to be their hero. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing to see God come in and just defend them and just boom. I mean, what a shock the world's going to have when God steps in to defend the Jews and the nation of Israel.
Yes, and we get to see it all.
Yes, we do.
All right, we shall turn our attention to the church for a moment to come upon an article from ChristianPost.com dated July 21st. Christianity faces being, quote-unquote, wiped out. The UK's Forbes envoy warns, and obviously the spelling of Forbes must mean something.
It does, because the way they do it there. But let me say, and again, when the rapture takes place, suddenly all Christianity is going to be gone. Think about that. They're saying it's disappearing in the UK. It has been for a long time, but it's going to totally be gone here very soon. Maybe today, maybe before this broadcast is up, the Lord may come back and take his church. And what a wonderful moment that's going to be. We need to be watching. So Jesus, we're watching. Come back, Lord. Be great. But either way, let me give you the article. Christianity is at risk of being wiped out in parts of the world due to intensifying persecution. The United Kingdom Special Envoy for Freedom of Religion or Belief, David Smith, has warned. Again, the UK, I can just say this, they're a big part of the problem. They've turned so much away from God. The article goes on. The British government is now targeting 10 countries as a part of its revised foreign policy focus to defend this human right. That's interesting. 10 countries to defend the human right. 10 toes of Daniel. Maybe no connection. Probably none. I just, that caught my attention. He added that persecution carried out both by governments and social groups can involve harassment by police, social ostracism, detention without cause, denial of citizenship, torture, attacks on places of worship, and even killings, citing research by the Pew Research Center. He cited recent data showing that 380 million Christians face persecution worldwide and warned, I quote, persecution on the basis of religion or belief enacted by states themselves and social groups is taking place on every continent in the world. Now, even as we said, you know, Greg, that you're going to see an increase of a hatred of the Jews around the globe in the last days, the Bible also says you're going to see a hatred increase against Christians around the globe in the last days. So no, the only reason, we're very protected here in our nation, but the rest of the world, some of the Western nations are more protected, but most of the world, and the world that's not Western, big problems. And you're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff taking place and hatred against Christians. And I want to remind our brothers and sisters, the believers here that are hearing this in the States, I know we have some listening overseas as well. So if you're in a Western country and you have a little bit more freedom as a believer, realize we really don't know what persecution is. I mean, it's really kind of shameful, you know, somebody fussed at me at work, somebody called me a name because I'm a Christian, my family rejected me. I have sympathy for those. I know those are painful things. But we have people having their heads cut off, body parts cut off. I'm not going to go into detail. People being mutilated, people being so abused because they're followers of Christ. We really can't complain any at all. And so God has blessed us to be in a nation where we have such freedom and such grace from the Lord. It's truly a huge blessing. And again, our heart goes out to those that are suffering. And again, this is a good reminder to pray. You know, and I forget to pray for those, you know, that are suffering in other nations. We need to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters, for God to protect them. So Lord, do protect our brothers and sisters in these other nations. Have mercy on them and be gracious to them. And I know the Lord will be. But remember to be praying for our brothers and sisters and realize not just the Jews will be growing in opposition in the last days, but the church will as well.
Yeah, and I'll just throw this in there as well. If you've got a heart or God has pricked your heart right now about praying for the persecuted of the church, there's an organization called Voice of the Martyrs, which is a wonderful outreach and a way for you to stay connected on where those issues are so you can know more specifically how to pray.
Yes.
So.
Hello.
This article comes from the Daily Star in our weird category. This is dated July 21st, the world to end with a quote-unquote big crunch.
Yes.
As scientists declare, humans will burn in cosmic hell.
Listen to these hellfire and damnation scientists here.
Coming from the world.
I mean, I just, that's like, you know.
They must be Old Testament scientists.
There's something going on here because this is not good. You know, where's the love? You know.
Where's the science of love?
Yes, yes. And the big crunch, you know, just kind of confirms some of the theories of the giant candy bar in the universe, you know, with the big Reese's or the big rice.
Yeah, the Nestle's big crunch, yes.
Yes, so that's, again, you know, again. But either way, you know, it's interesting, Greg. I want to read this. I want to make a comment about Jason Lyle, who'll be visiting with us soon. But,
okay, yeah.
Boffins, they're these little creatures that run around the woods, and we see them in science movies, believe the universe will come to an end in a terrifying cosmic collapse. No, Boffins is the name of this group. These are the people that believe this.
I didn't even know where you were going.
No, little Boffins. Can you see them? Doesn't it sound like a boffin would be something? You know, see the leaves move. What's that? It's a boffins. I hate the boffins. They come in here. They take our stuff. They run away. So boffins believe the universe will come to an end in a terrifying cosmic collapse as it folds in on itself and becomes a furnace of this cosmic hell. This is not a good future.
No, it's not.
For the boffins or anybody else. You won't find a Mary Boffin. According to the Big Crunch theory, experts believe that the universe will come to a close in one big final cataclysmic explosion in a process which is the opposite of the Big Bang. They say the space itself will contract into a scorching hot dense area as pressure of the universe increases, the temperatures skyrocket to astronomical levels. Although the universe coming to an end as a result of the Big Crunch is only a theory, scientists looking at the new measurements of dark energy have warned that the cataclysmic crunch is the most likely outcome for our universe. Eggheads at the Cornell University have unveiled when they believe the process will begin and what exactly will happen in this astronomical collapse. They say, within a few million years of the crunch, the universe would be as hot as the surface of the sun as it folds into a furious cosmic inferno. Academics said that as the universe temperature continues to rise, it would eventually peak at Planck temperature, the highest possible temperature according to scientific models. He said, needless to say, all humans will burn up in the furnace in this cosmic hell. Or we could just believe the Bible that says the Lord will hold all things together, like it says in Colossians, until, again, the end of the thousand-year reign. And then the earth will go up in a big flame of fire, which is interesting. But it's going to be the Lord speaking the word, not some cosmic crunch. It'll be just the Lord saying, you're done, and the heaven and earth will burn, the Bible says in Revelation, and he'll make a new heaven and a new earth.
You know, I wonder if they, without even realizing it, are confirming what Scripture says is going to happen after the thousand-year reign.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, when you hear some of that, it sounds like, wow, well, you know it's going to be hot enough for everything to be consumed.
Yeah.
So, okay. You might be right, but your timing in the purpose behind it is wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, just interesting.
Who knows? But
it's just
like,
interesting.
It sounds like something Nestle should grab onto
yes,
as an advertisement
exactly.
campaign.
Yes.
You know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of
yes.
a Tootsie Roll?
Yes.
How many big crunches does it
yes.
take to destroy the universe and have it collapse itself?
Yes.
Let's go buy and let's find out. Just
buy this big crunch before you get the big crunch.
You bought it and it didn't happen
yes.
yet. Didn't happen yet. You know, so doomsday, whatever. But let me real quick on this Jason Lyle.
Yes.
He's a scientist, a creation scientist, who said when they had these new pictures come back from these newest telescopes, he was telling them, they were saying, we're going to see evidence of the Big Bang, that everything's expanding and all that. That started, though. It is expanding, but starting with fire and all this, what, explosion. He said, you're not going to see the evidence of an explosion. When you see out there, you're going to see that it was all made instantaneously because the Bible says it was, and they mocked him. Well, we're getting some of those pictures back now from the most recent deep space telescopes, and guess what? It looks exactly like the stars and everything here. There's no evidence of heat or evidence of explosion. In other words, what it's doing is it's refuting very openly the Big Bang theory, saying, he said, look, the Big Bang theory is not how it happened. God said he created in 6 days, and he did. Now it's being backed up by science, and it's causing a real stir in the scientific community because they're going, you know what? We shouldn't be seeing what we're seeing, but what we're seeing does line up with the Bible. So it's again, we know that, but it's pretty cool.
Wasn't there something about it looking like a scroll, and it was rolled out, and now it's rolling back in, or it's shrinking.
No, I don't know if I heard it look like that, but that's cool because the Bible says he did roll it out like a scroll, like a curtain and a scroll. And again, you know, God is going to he's going to scroll everything back up.
So I'm just wondering, you know, from a scientific standpoint, if God does that, a scientific explanation of that such great force and implosion would be that big crunch.
Yeah, you wonder.
Anyway,
I mean,
it's just interesting. It's just interesting.
It'd be funny if the curtain pulls back and there's
yeah.
a big candy bar,
yeah.
you know, he just eats it and then everything's.
That well, we get one of those at the feast.
Welcome to heaven. We have chocolate.
Well, I know someone who will be very happy about
that. But
we
have Jesus, which is why I want to be there.
The amen.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen. All right, let's get our good news article in here while we've got just a couple of minutes left. This is from crosswalk.com, dated July 18th. Yankee star Aaron Judge says only Jesus truly satisfies.
Isn't that great? Aaron Judge, don't judge me, Judge.
Yes.
One of the Major League Baseball top players says worldly achievements fall short compared to a life with Jesus. Amen. Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees leads the league in batting average at a .355 batting average, on base percentage of .462 and hits a .125, yet he says none of it compares to the peace and purpose he's found in Christ. The 10th-year outfielder made the comments prior to this year's All-Star game when asked by CBN Sports what he would tell someone who thinks the fame and fortune are if they're answers to the problems of the world. Our Lord and Savior said, Jesus Christ, he's given me this platform, given me this ability. Judge responded, the fame getting the chance to do this is great and all, but it's fulfilling as much as a relation, not as fulfilling rather, as much as the relationship I have with the Lord. So that's what I would tell anyone, build a relationship with him. Judge is a future Hall of Famer with a career already marked by historic milestones. He's a 7-time All-Star and 2-time MVP who holds the American League single season record of 62. This year he became the fastest player in Major League Baseball history to reach 350 home runs, surpassing Mark McGwire's previous mark. And after he passed Roger Maris' American League record of 61 home runs in 2022, Judge referenced his faith during an interview on national television. He said, "I got to thank God for putting me in this position and getting me to where I am, and constant support from my family and friends who have been with me through it all, coaches from Little League, high school, college, and those who have been with me the whole time," he said. And most of all, again, he was thanking the Lord. His Yankees are currently in second place in the AL East, trailing Toronto by 2 games. And so it's always great to hear these guys giving God the glory. That's good news. And I encourage us as believers, let's make sure we're always giving God the glory for everything, because it's because of him that we can do anything and that we have heaven and we'll have Jesus. And again, I want to say, like I did at the beginning of the broadcast, if you don't know Jesus Christ, he loves you. He died for you on a cross. And if you confess your sin, ask him to forgive you, believe his blood washed you clean, receive him as Lord, you will be saved and have your place in heaven, which may be very, very soon for all of us in the rapture of the church. Join us. We want you to be a part of the family.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And make sure you join us next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.